the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The introit. The Lord is the strength of His people. He is the saving strength of His anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever.
Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my God, be not silent unto me. Blessed thou be silent to me. I become like them that go down into the pit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord is the strength of His people. He is the saving strength of His anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
God on high,
and on earth peace and will for men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory.
O Lord God,
heavenly King, God the Father, away the sin of the world, have mercy. Who takes away the sin of the world, we
Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, who art the author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of thy name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of thy grace, and of thy great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Trinity is from the 20th chapter of Exodus. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from the sixth chapter of Romans. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
We turn, O Lord, how long, and let it repent in concerning thy servants. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment." But I say to you, that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
sermon text is from Matthew 5, verse 17. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Outwardly speaking, there are always those of every age whom society views to be especially religious or godly. During Jesus' times, it was the Pharisees and the scribes that were considered such. They strictly observed the ceremonial laws concerning hand washing, Sabbath day observances, and thus they went above and beyond the observance of the average Joe. They would give long, showy prayers on the street corners where everyone might see them. And on account of their observances, well, the people gave them special honors, like, well, the best place at dinner or such. The people regarded them as close to God. So I began to wonder, what kind of people today are considered holy? There might be those who would name the Pope or some fellow priests, or there may be those that would take another religious leader like a Buddhist, the Dalai Lama, or maybe some New Age guru of sorts. Usually it's those who dress differently, those who practice strange and involve rituals. They're often viewed as religious. We're also especially impressed with those who deny to themselves they may not get married and have children, and thus we go, ooh, they're touched by God. But it may be that, well, the scandals that have racked the church might put a doubt upon that, and, well, might take even those with the collar, all that have the collar might be suspect. In fact, it seems that, well, today, those that are in full-time church work, that might be great and fine, but, you know, that is your job. You have to do it. And so maybe those are not so highly respected as before. You know, I got paid to go to church today. Today, maybe it would be that it is the layman. Yeah. The most respected are the laymen. In fact, if you think about it, that's what the Pharisees were. They seemed to go beyond what would be the normal behavior for a Christian. Yes, maybe there are those today who, especially by their words, saying God bless you or praise the Lord in every conversation, that you might say, aha, they are especially holy, somewhat outspoken, maybe, in their prayers or in their practices. They might wear especially religious t-shirts, listen to religious music. Maybe they would demonstrate at an abortion clinic as such, seem a bit radical, bring up religious conversations that, well, might make us all squirm a bit. Yeah, those are the people maybe that you would ask if you had religious questions. Say, they're religious. And so you might ask them. My point, though, this morning, is not that we would point the finger at someone else or saying that they're holy or religious, and not that we would either be offended either by those that might have qualities different from ourselves. I simply want you to think. Think about the person that you most admire, for whom you might say, yeah, if anyone's going to heaven, it must be them. Think about that person. Now, consider the things that make you admire them, which makes you most hold them up. Now, concerning that person and their righteousness, Jesus says to you, unless your righteousness exceeds that person, the one you admire,
you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Yes. You must read your Bible even more than that person. You must pray more than the person that you admire. You must accomplish far more and give far more than any religious person that you know. You must sacrifice much more than just the pleasures of a spouse or 10% of your income or your Sunday mornings. You know, we kind of like it when the pastor scolds us a bit. When he scolds us for our laziness in coming to church, or our neglect in doing some religious duty, teaching our children or whatever, it almost feels good to have just a little hellfire and brimstone. We want to be challenged. We want to be pushed a little bit. However, that's not what Jesus is saying in today's text. His words are extremely backward to our way of thinking. We expect to be told, strive and reach for some plateau. But instead, Jesus takes what we consider to be the maximum, and then he says that you can't enter heaven unless your righteousness is beyond, well beyond that, exceeds that righteousness. You see, it's only when we say, that's impossible, that Jesus makes it clear that we do not enter heaven by what we do. Our righteousness before God is not achieved by doing. Jesus is the only one who has, in fact, gone far beyond the works of devotion, the sacrifice of any and every person who has ever lived. Jesus didn't just pray. He was in constant communion with his heavenly Father. Jesus didn't just say, praise the Lord, all the time. He preached God's word purely and truthfully. He didn't just refrain from murder, but he helped and supported us in every physical need. Jesus didn't just give up a happily married life for a few years of ministry. He gave up his life for our sins. He didn't just endure beatings and crucifixion. He willingly suffered hell for us on the cross so that the Father turned away from him. The righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees is Jesus' own righteousness, secured by his perfect keeping of the law. The righteousness that exceeds your righteous role model is none other than Jesus' own life. If you even get in the gate of heaven, then you must have Jesus' righteousness. Your religious role model is not enough. It's not good enough, and surely you are not. Believe in Jesus Christ. Look to the one who took away your sins and gives you his perfect righteousness. The hymn for today that's in the bulletin stands at 12 based on the Ten Commandments, that man a godly life might live. Stanza 12 says it this way. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, for we, a mediator, have in thee. Our works cannot salvation gain. They merit but endless pain. Have mercy, Lord. We must go to the mediator, the one who has the exceeding righteousness of the scribes, the Pharisees, your role model of you and of I. A perfect illustration of how we trust in this perfect righteousness is shown to us whenever there is a baptism, and in particular when there is a baptism of an infant. An infant does not have any great religious works to show for himself. An infant is not given any vows to make himself like Jesus. He's not impressed us with his prayers or sacrifices. And, well, he's not even participated with one word of the liturgy. You see, for those who think that baptism is our work, we offer infant baptism. No, holy baptism is not at all our work which we give to God. It is but God's work which he gives to us. And he gives to us Christ's righteousness. The reason that we proudly baptize infants as soon as we can bring them to church is to show that God gives them forgiveness and faith and holy baptism. Salvation is a free gift that God gives and can give even to a sleeping child in their baptism. Today's epistle says it this way. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So in your baptism, you are united with Jesus' righteousness. Jesus died that he might take away your sins. In your baptism, you're united with Christ's resurrection that you, well, have a righteousness that far exceeds the scribes and Pharisees. So what is true for Jesus is now true for you. You have died to sin and you have become alive to righteousness. And this righteousness that is given to you to forgive you your sins leads me to my last point. Jesus did not abolish the law, but by his perfect life, he fulfilled it. Whenever you come to faith in Jesus Christ and you are united with Jesus, he desires that you would fulfill his law in your life. All who have been baptized into Christ are to lead godly lives. Oh, you've been set free from that pharisaical righteousness that thinks you have to be good enough. No, not that. Instead, having put that to death, you now wish to live a new life with Christ's perfect righteousness already given to you. In Luther's morning prayer, we're to remember our baptism, confess the creed, and say the Lord's Prayer. We pray that we may be kept from sin, commend our bodies and souls to God, and then go about our work singing a hymn like that of the Ten Commandments, the hymn that's in our bulletin today. Why the Ten Commandments? Because we're already righteous in Jesus, and those who believe and are baptized wish to follow Christ and to follow those commands out of thankfulness. When the Apostle Paul finds Christians who are not praying, who are neglecting the services of God's house, when he finds Christians who are leading sinful lives, but still consider themselves to be Christians, what does the Apostle Paul do? He asks them about their baptism. Do you not know, he says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We may walk in the new life that he has given us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Create in me, we stand. Let us pray to the Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you spared no cost in sending your Son to seek and save us lost sinners, bringing us into fellowship with you. Even while we were still enemies and murderers, you settled our matter of sin by giving us the righteous gift and the perfect life of your Son, his innocent suffering and death, that all who believe would enter the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray to the Lord. Give your church the gift of your Holy Spirit that we might not trust in our own works of righteousness, but have faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Teach all pastors in Christ, including our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, that they would not be satisfied with their people's outward sacrifices to appease God, but would seek the fruits of faith, which far surpass the works of the Pharisees and teachers of the law. Motivate your people that they do not hurt or harm their neighbor in their body, but help and support them in every physical need. We give thanks to you for the ordination and installation of Pastor Haroon in 1987. Bless our Early Childhood Learning Center, our Director Keeley. We ask that the children enrolled in our Summer Academy would grow up into the knowledge of that one true God. Let us pray to the Lord. Strengthen our President Joe, the Congress of the United States, our Governor J.B., state legislators, county commissioners, our Mayor Steve, city officials, and all our judges, that they may govern justly. For our nation and every nation, we ask that we would learn to cherish and protect our freedoms, that we would fulfill our responsibilities in protecting the weak and vulnerable. For the soldiers, Marines, airmen, sailors, special forces, especially for Danny, Jason, and Blake, as well as our police officers, Daniel and Alex, those who put their lives in harm's way in order to defend our freedoms, we ask that you would protect them from all danger and lift their spirits during times of trial. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless our shut-in Carolyn, our elderly Tom and Violet. Provide for the needs of Kevin and Levi, Anita, Larry and Deb, Christina, and Harold. We ask that you would continue to be with Jackie, the wife of Jake Horman, while she is in Uganda on a mission trip. We ask that you would be with Christina Henson while she is expecting. Be with our students, Kara and Jonathan. We also ask that you would be with Tony's mother, Kay Hobble, who had a stroke this Tuesday. And we ask that you would continue to use the doctors and nurses and provide for her. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
And salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forget those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true blood. Take and drink. This is the true blood. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of Christ. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve your body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in peace. Thank you. thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen.